Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us in the spiritual mood for studying the Word of God. Let's begin with a word of prayer as we move into our continual study, the basic foundation, the gospel foundation of the Bible. And we're in the midst of looking at the ministry of the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have, the freedom that we enjoy, the use of our time in opening up the Scriptures, and seeing, Heavenly Father, about the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead who indwells us, teaches us, guides us, leads us, pours His fruit into us, all these wonderful ministries, Father. We pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things You'd have us to see and understand. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The teaching by Jesus Christ on the Holy Spirit, one of the most phenomenal, revealing, edifying studies on the Holy Spirit in all the Bible. And we have looked now at the teaching of Jesus Christ in the upper room and in as they left the upper room on His teaching on the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John 14, 15, and 16, part of 16. Now, this morning, I want to begin our study. Some people have a problem trusting in the Holy Spirit for the spiritual life, as we have reiterated and looked at various passages. And things like we saw last week in our study in the Gospel of John dealing with the Holy Spirit does not speak of Himself. But this is also said of Jesus Christ. What I want to do this morning is to take a look at various ministries of Jesus Christ and how they are corresponded by the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And this is most befitting because Christ said, I'm leaving, I'm departing to go to the Father. I will send you another just like me, deity, Paraclete. And so they are different, yet very similar. So let's take a look at some of these, comparing Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ and God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. First of all, Jesus Christ is sent by God the Father. The Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus Christ. He is also sent by the Father. I'm just trying to flow through this, give you some thought-provoking ideas in regard to the ministries of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, how similar they are. Secondly, Jesus Christ, and I'm sorry to abbreviate it, Jesus Christ, abbreviated God the Father, abbreviated God the Holy Spirit, but for the sake of space and to get it where it just flows, I hope you will permit that at this point. Secondly, Jesus Christ brings man to God the Father. The Holy Spirit brings man to Jesus Christ. And then third, Jesus Christ glorifies God the Father. And third, on the Holy Spirit, glorifies Jesus Christ. We saw that in John 16, verse 14. Four, Jesus Christ is God-centered. Four, the Holy Spirit is Christ-centered. Five, Jesus Christ reveals God the Father. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not supplant the Father, but represents God the Father. Jesus Christ does not supplant, or the Holy Spirit does not supplant Jesus Christ, represents Jesus Christ. To walk by faith in the Holy Spirit does not in any way take away from Jesus Christ. Just as believing in Jesus Christ does not take away from God the Father. And then seven, Jesus Christ bears witness of God the Father. The Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus Christ. The last verse in John 15 deals with that principle. Then point eight, Jesus Christ leads to God the Father and convicts of not coming to God the Father. That's what Jesus Christ did when He's here. The Holy Spirit leads to Jesus Christ and convicts to believe in Jesus Christ. John 16. Nine, Jesus Christ will declare things to come. The Holy Spirit declares things to come. John 16. Then 10, Jesus Christ did not speak on his own initiative. Several times in the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ declares that. Okay? The Holy Spirit does not speak on his own initiative. John 16:13. Point 11, the coming of Jesus Christ is totally of God the Father, not man. The coming of the Holy Spirit is of Jesus Christ and God the Father, really, and not man. And then 12, Jesus Christ proclaims to Gentiles, and I gave you some passages on this one, because he has namely came for the Jews, but he proclaims to the Gentiles, Matthew 12:18, Hebrews 2:12, and then correspondingly, point 12 under the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit proclaims Jesus Christ to the world. And then finally, 13, Jesus Christ is truth, Gospel of John 14:16, yet we believe in Jesus Christ for eternal sanctification. Correspondingly, the Holy Spirit is truth, John 17:18, and we believe in the Holy Spirit for experiential sanctification. There are probably many more. We'll probably add to this list. But this deals with 13 simple things relating and comparing Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, so this is the teaching that we've looked at of Jesus Christ on the Holy Spirit. On solving the problem. Now, what was the problem? You're not able to bear the truth. The solution? Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches us, guides us. Now the issue that we want to address this morning is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The ministries of the Holy Spirit do not just happen because we want it, because we desire it, because we repent, because we confess, or any other action, active on the part of man of do. So we've got to come down and ask ourselves, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? How am I filled with the Holy Spirit? These are two important questions we want to address. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And how am I filled with the Holy Spirit? We have seen that few people, pastors, teachers, will deal especially with the second question, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And many that do are incorrect, I'm sorry. So we need to look this morning at these two great questions. Now, what we're going to look at is, how am I saved as an unbeliever? How am I saved eternally? And then, how am I filled with the Holy Spirit? These two questions go together. They go together. How am I saved? How am I filled with the Spirit? The question, first question, how am I saved eternally? Now, these two questions that we have on the board, how am I saved eternally? How am I filled with the Spirit? One is the pattern for the other. The first one is the pattern for the second. That is, how we are saved eternally is the pattern on how we're going to be delivered, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer, C-H-A-F-E-R, in his book, He That Is Spiritual, we're in chapter 7, the conclusion. And if you know anything about writing papers, master thesis papers, doctoral thesis papers, the conclusion is your conclusion of the whole work. And in his chapter 7, under analogy and conclusion, he talks about how filling of the Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit is patterned after our eternal salvation. In other words, he points out that our eternal salvation is a pattern on how we'll be delivered as believers in experientially in our life. And this is both keeping, that it is by faith, is keeping in with grace. This is why it must be, we go back, 10 questions of Job. Fundamentally, how can one be righteous before God? As an unbeliever? As a believer. Those 10 questions apply to both unbeliever and believer. They apply to the unbeliever eternally. They apply to the believer experientially in our lives. And under these, we have seen that we can do nothing. There's nothing we can do before God to make ourselves righteous before God. Both are a form of salvation, and therefore both must be by God and by grace through faith. If there are going to be salvations of God, if you understand that, then you have to understand that they are both a form of salvation. If they are both a form of salvation, deliverance from the penalty of sin, deliverance from the power of sin, then they both have to be of God. And if they are God, they have to be by grace. And the only thing compatible with God's grace is faith. So both of these are by grace. Now, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. If you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians 5, 18. By the way, while you're opening your Bibles to Ephesians 5, 18, let me remind you that when a pastor uses such words as grace, faith, love, you got to know what he means. Just because he's using those words doesn't mean that he's biblical. A lot of people call works grace, and it's not. So we have to understand, and a lot of people have a false ideal of faith. I believe that if I do this, then God will do for me. That's not the faith that God is looking for. Faith that God is looking for is a simple faith in a member of the Godhead. Okay, Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Okay. This is rather awkward. It's rather awkward to compare being filled with the Spirit with being drunk with wine, isn't it? You just sit down and think about it. Wow. Two totally different things. Wow. But, when we examine some simple analogies between the two, it begins to make wonderful sense. We have many things to learn from this one verse. And let me just give you some concepts. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, do not get drunk with wine. Now, get drunk is a present passive imperative. But be filled with the Spirit. So you can see if you're looking at this on the internet, on the PowerPoint presentation, do not get drunk. Get drunk. Be filled. Get drunk with wine. Filled with the Spirit. And be filled with the Spirit is also a present passive imperative. I want to warn you right now. This morning, in this study, we're going to have to look at some Greek. I don't apologize for it, but it may not be something you're used to. This is why there's a lot of confusion on being filled with the Spirit. And a lot of confusion on the Holy Spirit. Sloppy work by preachers. So, this is a Bible church. You're listening because you want to know the truth. So, we're going to have to look at it. So, do not get drunk with wine, present passive imperative, but be filled with the Spirit, present passive imperative. Get drunk is analogous to being filled, and wine with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at several things that we can learn from all of this in our study. Now the word, do not be drunk with wine, very quickly, let's just take that up, is the verb methusko. Methusko means intoxication, drunk. The word is used to describe the condition where wine, alcohol, saturates the body, therefore the mind, the blood, to the point you come intoxicated, drunk. Runs through the bloodstream, through the body, and to the brain. Secondly, passive voice is important here. The subject receives the action of the verb. You receive being drunk. One does not make a decision to be drunk. I'm going to be drunk, and then you're drunk. No, you make a decision about alcohol. The alcohol enters your body, enters your brain, and the alcohol does what it's supposed to do, make you drunk. I don't know what happened. I just had 5, 6, 7 drinks. See? Alcohol does what it's supposed to do. You don't make a decision to get drunk. You make a decision about alcohol. It does what it's designed to do. Why do we not drink Clorox? We know what it'll do. See? So with alcohol, you make a decision to get drunk, so you receive it. And so the principle here applies with the Holy Spirit. You do not make a decision to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You make a decision to trust the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit does what He's designed to do. Do not get drunk with wine. Now, for the record, this is not a prohibition of drinking. It's a prohibition of getting drunk. But here's the point that I want to point out now in our study. Just stay with me, please. Let's get this accurately and correctly. The Greek for getting drunk, get drunk with wine, filled with the Spirit, is in the word with wine, and with the Spirit is in the dative case. I know you don't want to know Greek, but please bear with me because you've got to have correct understanding. We must understand what the text is saying. So, actually, for accuracy, it should be, do not get drunk by wine, be filled by the Spirit. That's the accurate translation. See? Now, the Greek says, to be not drunk by wine, for that is dissipation. King James says excess. NIV says leads to debauchery. The NASV says it leads to getting drunk, which is debauchery and dissipation, actually. The Greek word means extravagant. It means squandering. The prodigal, that is one who spends too much. So those are the concepts in either the Greek NIV or the NASV are okay at this point. But again, this is not a prohibition of drinking wine, but of getting drunk. But when there is too much wine in us, and that varies with each one, when there's too much wine in us, the wine causes us to be drunk. Wine does what wine is supposed to do, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, first of all, we take a look at that conjunction of contrast. But be filled with the Spirit. Strong conjunction comparing being filled with the Spirit and filled with alcohol. But be filled with the Spirit. Problem, it's also the dative case. The preposition in, dative case plus the preposition in, denotes not the substance, now listen, denotes not the substance of the filling, but the agent of the filling. Be filled by the Holy Spirit. Being filled with, or more accurately, for the understanding of what's going on, it should be, by means of alcohol produces drunkenness. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, or more accurately, by means of the Holy Spirit produces spirituality. Now, we come to the second major flow in this study. First major flow, we looked at the verse. Now we come to the second major flow. The second major flow, what does the Greek New Testament mean when it speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit? And we're seeing it really should be by the Holy Spirit. Now, I consider this extremely important. What does the New Testament Greek mean? All right, point one. Our first task, will be to inquire as to the exact meaning of the word fullness when used in connection with the ministry of the Spirit. What does it mean? Secondly, the Greek word is pleroo, and I've got it on the board for you if you're interested in looking those kind of things up. Means to fill up a deficiency. When the believer is not in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a deficiency of spiritual life inside the believer. Now, the next thing we're going to look at is Galatians 5, and it says, since we live by the Spirit, life. So when we're not empowered by the Spirit, there is a deficiency of spiritual life inside the believer. The Greek word, pleroo, also carries the idea of fully possessing or fully influencing the believer who is empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to carry this analogy of the alcohol and the getting drunk, but you can see how they would be, how they parallel. There's a deficiency of alcohol, so you fill it up with that, see? Okay, so the Greek word carries also the idea of possessing or fully influencing the believer who is empowered by the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, and that will become up in Galatians 5, and to fill up with the highest quality. For an example, the highest quality of love. There's human love that we've already studied in loving one another as Christ loved, and there is spiritual love, that is the love given by the Holy Spirit. Then we come to point three. The expression, filled by the Spirit. And again, people, that's the more accurate. I'm probably going to continue to say, be filled with the Spirit, because that's a true doctrine. That's not what's being taught here. Here we're seeing something else. So we are filled with the Holy Spirit, but in this passage, Ephesians 5, we are filled by the Holy Spirit. So the expression, filled by the Spirit, speaks of the Holy Spirit filling the believer with His ministry, His, the Holy Spirit's ministry. Those are things that Jesus Christ talked about in our previous study. He will guide, He will teach, He will bring to remembrance, He will convict, He'll do all of these things. He will glorify me in the believer. So, this is the thing. Speaks of the Holy Spirit, the believer in His ministry, speaks of the Holy Spirit filling the believer with His various ministries, which in turn actually fully influences the mind and the heart of the believer. This influence implies the control of the Holy Spirit over that mind and heart. Thus the words filled refer to the control which the Spirit exerts over the believer by filling the believer with His power and His influence. And you can see some of the analogies work with the alcohol in the mind. But here we're going to concentrate, of course, on, this is not a message on the being sober. This is a message on being filled with the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit. All right, this brings us to point four. Now, point four. Before I get into it, let me just preface this by saying, people, I'm not here to get you bogged down. I'm not here to confuse you. My prayer all the way through, I mean, just before almost sometime, before I would work on a sentence, I would just be in prayer. Do I want to do this? Is that what you want me to do? I'm not here to bog you down in the Greek. I'm not here to confuse you. I'm here to make this very clear as simply as I can from the text. And we are confined to the text. So point four. What is interesting about the verb to fill is that much is learned from the Greek case of the noun that accompanies the verb. Here the verb is to fill. The noun is the Spirit. Bullinger, a qualified scholar in Greek and Hebrew, Bullinger, in his Word Studies on the Holy Spirit. Now, he's done a great big book on figures of the speech and different things, but here he did a book on the Word Studies on the Holy Spirit. He says, quote, This verb takes the accusative case when expressing the thing filled. That would be us. The thing filled, your soul. But that's not what we have here. It takes the genitive case when the matter of the thing being filled is what is being talked about. In other words, being filled with love, with peace, being filled in the guidance and the teaching and all of these things. That would be the substance. You would have the genitive case. It takes the dative case in the Greek when the means used to accomplish the filling or of the instrument or agent that fills, that does the filling. So this becomes important to us now. See? Because this is ours, we have the dative case. We have the dative case. Alright? In Ephesians 5:18, filled with the Spirit, the verb is followed by the dative case, which designates the fact that we are not filled with the Holy Spirit here, not filled with the Holy Spirit. This would be the genitive case, but the Holy Spirit is the agent that fills us, as wine or alcohol is the agent that causes us to get drunk. The Holy Spirit is the agent who does the filling in our soul. The Holy Spirit is the agent that fills us, and He fills us with His ministry. The Holy Spirit is the divine agent who fills the one trusting Him with His fruit, His power, and all the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Bullinger further points out, in dealing with his word studies, further points out that sometimes the preposition in, the Greek preposition in, by or through, is used in addition to the dative case, as here in Ephesians 5:18 with the Holy Spirit, in order to emphasize the agent. To emphasize the agent, here the agent is the third member of the Godhead, emphasized as the agent who fills the believer. So, to make this simple, the Holy Spirit, when we trust the Holy Spirit, He fills us, but He starts filling our soul in this context, Ephesians 5:18, He starts filling our soul with His ministries. He starts filling our souls with His ministries. If you look at Ephesians 5:18, let me just show you what's going on in context. Do not get drunk by wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled by the Spirit. Now, look what the Spirit does. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always give. These are things that the Holy Spirit fills us with. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, in the respect and the awe of Christ. So He fills us with these things that we're able to have a proper relationship with one another. Okay. So, before we get to that, just want you to understand, filled by the Spirit. It's in the dative case. So that means we're filled by the Spirit. What we're filled with is not given in text. Don't have the genitive. Don't have the accusative. That would say, filled by the Spirit. Filled with, say for an example, spiritual love. Filled with spiritual love by the Holy Spirit. See? That's how these cases work in the Greek. We don't have what we're filled with. We have the result of the filling is our worship of God in our dealing with one another. Okay, now we come to point five. Here in Ephesians 5:18, be filled is followed by the dative case. Again, people, I don't want to bog you down, but I do want you to have a clear understanding. And why? I don't want to just stand up here and say, this is what it says, trust me. I want you to appreciate the text, the Bible that you're looking at, and what's going on in it. So, Ephesians 5:18, be filled, is followed by the dative case, by the Spirit, plus the preposition in, for the correct understanding, be filled by the Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit is the filler, and He fills us with His fruit and His power. This is what He does. Here for worship of God. Now, some may wonder, and I agree, is this a little too deep? A little too deep for a basic study? And people, ordinarily, I would agree with you. I would agree. But due to the all importance of being filled by the Holy Spirit and all the confusion related to being filled with the Holy Spirit, all the confusion, we need to have a proper understanding, in my opinion. Even though this is a basic study, I want to be accurate, and I want you to be able to understand it. Now, with that in mind, I'm also going to include some observation here made by D.B. Wallace in his Greek grammar Beyond the Basics. It is to be noted, he says, that neither the verb nor the case following the verb are the same as in Acts 2:4. Acts 2:4 says, all were filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages. Ephesians 5:18, be filled by the Spirit, is a command. Command to be filled by the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. The Spirit filling in Acts 2 is never commanded, nor is it related particularly to sanctification. Rather, it is a special viewing of the Holy Spirit for a particular task, speaking in tongues, similar to the Spirit's ministry in the Old Testament. Furthermore, every time in the New Testament, the case used to indicate the content of the filling is the genitive, never the dative, as we have in Ephesians 5:18. Okay, I'm not going to get any more on that. I hope you understand why we say be filled with the Spirit. I have no problem with that. But for correct understanding, it's actually be filled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, this brings us to point three. What does filling by the Holy Spirit mean? What does it mean to be filled by the Holy Spirit? Okay. One, first, we're indwelt. We studied this. We well established this by the teaching of Jesus Christ. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He resides in every born-again believer. The moment you believed in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you. And when we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, this allows the Holy Spirit to minister to us, minister in us. This allows the Holy Spirit to fill us with His various ministries. Point two, we are never commanded to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Never commanded to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. This happens the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. So we are not exhorted to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but we are exhorted to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We're not filled by the Holy Spirit just because the Spirit indwells us. That's very important. You are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not filled by the Holy Spirit just because the Spirit indwells. This is why I say so many people don't teach how to be filled with or even by the Holy Spirit. Point three, the very fact that an individual is exhorted to do something, be filled with the Spirit, demands a decision that that person exercises his will in the doing of that thing. That is, by the way, this really, the flow here, I've used Kenneth Wiest in his exegetical work of the New Testament. Demands a decision that the person exercises his will in the doing of that thing. That is, the believer is not automatically filled by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't just happen automatically. It's a mystical way. For an example, the Holy Spirit does not automatically give wisdom, or self-control, or joy, or peace. The believer must make the continual decision to be filled by the Holy Spirit, filled with the work of the Holy Spirit. We will see more of this in our study when we come to Galatians chapter 5, which will be the next passage that we're going to take a look at. Okay? Now, this is beautiful. Be filled by the Spirit. A good place to see what's going on here is in Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts," poured out within our hearts, "through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Okay? Given to us, that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Pour spiritual love into our hearts. This is the Holy Spirit filling us with spiritual love. See? So this passage kind of goes along with our study of Ephesians 5:18. All right? Point four. Filling by the Holy Spirit into the believer is dependent. Doesn't just happen automatically. Is dependent upon the believer's decision toward and correct adjustment, we says, and correct adjustment to the Holy Spirit. See, if you're in sin, you're not in correct adjustment with the Holy Spirit. You've quenched Him. See? So we must get into the proper adjustment with the Holy Spirit. So correct adjustment to the Holy Spirit. And this correct adjustment is made by faith in the Holy Spirit, trusting Him to do that for which He was sent to do. When He was sent to indwell us, He was sent to indwell us to do certain things in us. Okay? Point five. The Lord Jesus. Go back to our pattern. Go back to the pattern. The Lord Jesus did not save us until we recognized Him as the Savior and put our trust in Him for salvation. Got to trust Him. Trusting Him to do that for which He was sent. We trust in Jesus Christ. What happens? He saves. We trust in the Holy Spirit. What does He do? He fills us with His ministries, sanctifying us and making us spiritual. A lot of things happen when you walk by faith in the Spirit. He sanctifies you experientially. You're set apart. And He makes us spiritual. Very important. As with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit does not fill us until we recognize Him as the one who has been sent by the Father and the Son to sanctify our lives and trust Him to perform His ministry in and through us. Okay? All right, we're ready to move on in this. May have to go over some of this, these things again, but we're going to move along now. So, point one, we looked at Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw it should be by. Secondly, we looked at what does the Greek New Testament mean when it speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It really means by. Then point three, what does filling by the Holy Spirit mean? So we looked at that. And now we come to Roman numeral 4. How are we filled by the Holy Spirit? How are we filled by the Holy Spirit? Okay, let's go through some things. First of all, right up front, so you don't miss it, in case you've missed it along the way, by faith in the Holy Spirit. Whether you want to say faith filled with the Holy Spirit, or you want to be more correct, filled by the Holy Spirit, doesn't make any difference to me. I'm not going to break fellowship with anybody who says filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. But how is the issue? And how is by faith in the Holy Spirit? There must be an ever-present conscious faith dependence upon a definite subjection to the Holy Spirit. And again, people, this is simply by faith. A constant trust, faith in Him to His ministry, trusting Him for His guidance, His power, His teaching. The Holy Spirit indwelling a believer is waiting. He indwells us. He's waiting to be recognized as the one to come to the believer's aid. Just as Jesus Christ is waiting, the Holy Spirit is waiting. He's waiting on us to simply trust Him to do what He was sent to do. Point two. Salvation is by faith from start to finish. It is the work of God, not man. It is the work of God for man. But God waits, doesn't He? God waits for man, the unsaved, or in this case, even the saved, to avail himself of the salvation he needs by faith. Unbeliever needs salvation, eternal life salvation. The believer needs salvation from the power of sin. Jesus Christ is waiting. The unbeliever to trust Him. The Holy Spirit is waiting for the believer to trust Him. They're similar. They're different, but they're similar. Three, one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit does not fill many believers with His ministries is because many incorrectly think He works automatically in their hearts. He does not work automatically in our hearts. Jesus Christ does not automatically save. He's waiting for you to believe in Him as Savior. The Holy Spirit does not automatically fill your heart. He's waiting for that faith, recognition, and dependence upon Him. Now for point four, I'd like you to turn to John 7. The Gospel of John, chapter 7 in your Bibles. John 7. Now Jesus Christ lays down two simple requirements for our eternal life salvation and for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the first is a thirst. And the second is faith. Let's look at verse 37. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." If any man thirst. This refers in context to the unbeliever for eternal life. You drink water when you're thirsty. We do not appropriate the work of Christ until first we hunger for that salvation. We seek. We knock. I want to be saved. I don't want to be alienated from God. So there is that, first of all, that thirst. And then by analogy, we thirst for the fruit of the Spirit. We thirst for the work of the Spirit in teaching us the Bible, guiding us in life, pouring that love into us, filling us with that love, filling us with patience, filling us with long-suffering, filling us with these things. First, you got a thirst for it. A desire for His filling will include, among other things, a desire that He puts sin out of our lives. People, you're not going to be able to fight sin in the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to fight sin. Now, we'll cover this a little more in Galatians 5. Walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. So, first there must be a thirst for Him to put sin out of your life. Give you the power over sin. And keep it out. A desire that He separates us from all the ties that would have us in the systems of the world. A desire that He dethrone ourselves, our self-centeredness, and enthrones Jesus Christ. Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ, has a book on the Holy Spirit. In that book he talks about how you're saved by faith, you're filled with the Spirit by faith. You want to dethrone self, enthrone Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You cannot do that. You can do it in the flesh, as a lot of people do, but God is not impressed. The Holy Spirit dethrones self and enthrones Jesus Christ. So remember, you do not make a decision for these things to be a reality in you. You desire these things. And then you make a decision about the Holy Spirit. Being base with Paul, you do not make a decision to be drunk. You desire to be drunk, maybe, and then you make a decision about alcohol. You can't just be drunk. You make a decision about alcohol. So it is with the Holy Spirit. First, you desire His ministry, desire the power over sin. You desire the fruit of the Spirit. You desire to be transformed into the image of Christ. You desire for Christ to be enthroned in you. But the Holy Spirit is the one who does that. So we make a decision concerning the Holy Spirit. Point five, a decision that He produce in us His own fruit. Not our fruit. It's not our fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not our love. It's His love. It's not a peace that we manufacture. It's His peace. His joy. His self-discipline. Oh, so many Christians, I'm going to work on this and I'm going to be self-disciplined about that. That's the flesh trying to do it. And the unbelieving world is filled with books. How to improve yourself. How to get over this habit and how to do that. People are not talking about that. They're talking about a supernatural power. God the Holy Spirit. Sent by Jesus Christ. Sent by God the Father to do these things in us. So it's not our fruit. We have a desire to be Christ-like. This happens when the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit is in us. We'll see that when we study the fruit of the Spirit. Six, such a desire for serious things, it involves the crucifixion of self, people. And let me tell you something. Self dies hard. It does not want to give up. The Spirit-filled life is a crucified life. That's what it means when we're crucified with Christ. And for you to desire for Christ to be enthroned in your soul, when you desire the fruit of the Holy Spirit, when you desire for Him to be in control, self doesn't like that. Self may convince you, no, we can do this. I can do this. So the Spirit-filled life is a crucified life. Point seven. Another requirement is trust. Faith. Note in our passage in John 7, He that believeth in Me, now that's eternal life salvation, out from his inmost being, shall flow rivers of living water. This is your spiritual salvation, sanctification. Trust here in context is not only trust in Him as Savior, but by implication, trust in the one that He has sent, the Holy Spirit. And finally, point eight. The spirit-filled life is a matter of trust. Salvation is by faith. Either of the salvations, eternal life salvation, spiritual life salvation, work of God. We receive justification by faith. We are to receive our sanctification by faith, our experiential sanctification. It is this constant desire, this constant thirst for the filling of the Spirit, filling by the Spirit. Trust in the Spirit, for the Spirit to fill our hearts, our souls, our being with His fruit. Throughout the day, we don't just drink water in the morning. If you're healthy, you drink water throughout the whole day. 9 glasses of water a day. 9 8-ounce glasses of water throughout the day. Your body needs that. It needs it. Okay. So it is with our spiritual life. So it is with the spiritual life. We begin a new day. It is well to include in our opening prayers thanksgiving for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our soul. It is well at intervals during the day when you're faced with temptation, for an example. Or when a definite piece of Christian service is to perform, spiritual love, being kind, long-suffering. You're conscious of the Holy Spirit and you thirst for His work. Strength to recognize some, to fulfill something in your life. Instruction from the Word of God depends on the Holy Spirit. A thirst for the Holy Spirit. To recognize quietly the ministry of the Spirit and depend upon Him by faith. We all need His guidance, His wisdom, His strength. How am I going to get it? He's waiting. The Holy Spirit's indwelling you. He's already inside, just waiting for us to recognize our need of Him and trust Him for His aid. So this becomes very important. There are two things, therefore, that are needed. Two things that are needed. Thirst and faith. A thirst, a hunger, a desire for Him. And then the trusting of Him. I have a good friend. He's a pastor, sound teacher, Tucson, Arizona. Tucson Bible Church, John Hintz. He got into the habit of just saying, well, we'll start to hang up, and it may not even been anything spiritual, just conversation. He'll say, keep thirsty. That's what he kind of likes to do now. And I understand him. He's absolutely correct. Keep thirsty in regard to the filling of the Holy Spirit, a desire to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And we come to point 5. The verb, be filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to kind of quickly go through this, but it's extremely important. First of all, it's a present tense. Present tense. Now, tense in the Greek is used when a writer speaks of a fact of an action, usually uses the aorist tense. When a writer uses any other tense, he is going out of his way to do so for the purpose of adding detail. Had the inspired writer used the aorist tense here, he would have referred to the fact of being filled by the Holy Spirit. But here he uses the present tense, people. He desires his Greek reader to understand that the exhortation is for one to be constantly, moment by moment, filled by the Holy Spirit. Be constantly filled by the Holy Spirit. It's the best way of translating the present tense. Being filled by the Spirit is not a once and for all decision. See, that's faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But people being filled with the Spirit is not a once and for all decision. It's done throughout our life, throughout the day. This is God's plan for the normal Christian life, that it should be a life of constantly, consciously, and deliberately subjecting ourselves to the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, so that the second member of the Godhead can be manifested through your life. A Christian needs to be constantly filled by the Holy Spirit in his life to gain a Christ-likeness inside of him. One cannot do with less than the Spirit's constant filling. And he's absolutely correct. One cannot do less than the Spirit's constant filling. Indeed, it is a sin not to be filled by the Spirit, will we says. If one is not walking by faith in the Spirit, walking in the flesh, anything that is not in faith is sin. So it is a sin not to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, the voice is what we call a passive voice. This becomes important. It's what I call the grace voice, denoting what is received. It is not fill yourself. It's but receive the filling by the Holy Spirit. So if I want to translate the present and the passive, be constantly receiving the filling by the Holy Spirit. See how this thing can be drawn out? But it's so accurate. It gives us that understanding of what's going on. This is something done to us. Like the wine. The wine. It does it to us. I didn't want to get drunk. Why am I getting dizzy here, getting drunk? The wine does that to us. The Holy Spirit does this to us. We receive it. Not something we do to ourselves. We receive salvation by faith in Christ. Now, keeping with that same pattern, we receive filling of the Holy Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. People, we can do nothing to save ourselves. All we can do is trust and believe in Jesus Christ. That famous verse, Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved. See that have been saved? Passive voice. You received salvation. You didn't bring it on you to do anything for it. You received salvation. Be filled is a passive voice. One receives being filled. Being filled by the Holy Spirit is not, and has been said, it is not an attainment, A-T-T-A-I-N, attainment, but an obtainment. Obtained through simple faith in the Holy Spirit. Now what I love here is the mood is the imperative. Now I want to tell you about this. I'm going to slow down a little bit. This means that the words be filled are a command. This command is obeyed by making a faith decision through the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. What do? You make a decision about alcohol. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You make a decision about the Holy Spirit. The imperative mood means that the filling of the Spirit is not optional. It's obligatory. You want to live for Christ? You want to glorify Christ? This is not optional. It's an obligation. And what have we learned about obedience? The only obedience that God is looking for is what? Faith. How am I filled by the Spirit? Faith. It's our obligation. Walk by faith. This just flows. All the passages flow together. Now, here's what's important to me about the imperative mood. Present, passive, imperative. This filling by the Holy Spirit is instantaneous. Instantaneous. There are many believers who teach, and many preachers who teach, and many believers who believe, that after you sin, especially a sin that offends them, you have to sit out for a while. Go sit in a corner, as it were. Spend time improving. People, you do not do any of these things. No such thing. Be filled with the Spirit and be filled now. Right now. It's that quick. People, where did you first see this? At your eternal life salvation? You were a sinner, damned, alienated, enemy of God, and you were saved right now. The moment you believed in Christ. You didn't have to go get better. Improve yourself so that when you believe in Christ, you'll be saved. You believed in Christ and you received 34 things, 34 that Lewis Berry Chafer's come up with, and you were instantly saved. People, the same thing is true of spirituality. Be filled and be filled right now. Don't go sit in a corner. Don't listen to those people who tell you that. You're not going to improve yourself sitting in a corner. You're only going to get worse because you're going to get guilt. You're going to get shame. You're going to try to do something for God, to impress God. It just gets worse. Be filled right now. That's the whole point, people. Be filled right now. Now, we'll talk about walking in the Spirit, led of the Spirit, living in the Spirit, following the Spirit, mature in the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. People, a lot of things aren't going to happen instantaneously. You filled with the Spirit, just put it this way. You're filled with the Spirit 5 minutes a day. Do you realize that means 23 hours and 50 minutes you're not? And you expect 10 minutes to just overcome everything? No, it's not going to. And when we get to the word walk, I'll use the same analogy. You walk with the Spirit, by the Spirit, 10 minutes a day, 23 hours and 50 minutes, you don't? You're not going to get very far. You're not going to get far down the road. He'll take you down that road that 10 minutes. You'll be filled that 10 minutes. But it ain't going to get you very far. But what I do want you to see is the grace here. Be filled with the Spirit. And be filled with the Spirit right now. Instantly. Just by trusting in the Holy Spirit. Well, we have a few things I want to finish up in our next hour. And then we'll go look at some more on the being filled with the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. But I hope that you can take what we did this morning, go over it, have it, get it into your soul. Let the Holy Spirit make it alive to you and make it real to you. And I know I dealt with the dative case, present, passive, imperative. You didn't come to Greek class. You wanted to go to Bible class. But I'm here to teach you the Bible, the truth of the Bible. And every now and then we are dependent upon looking at what the text says and how it says it. See? This is why it's so important when you pick out a pastor in a church that you want to go to worship God and to learn. You want to be careful. Does that person know what they're doing with the text? So, I hope I did not confuse you, overburden you. But my soul, and the Spirit, and prayer, I just said, we've got to understand this in truth. I haven't done this to you all along, but at this study I had to. So we need to grasp what it means, because this is where you live day in and day out, all day long, be constantly, continually filled by the Holy Spirit. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the sending of Jesus Christ for our eternal life salvation, our eternal sanctification. How grateful we are, Father, for the sending of the Holy Spirit for our experiential sanctification, that we can indeed live for Christ, that we can indeed love as He loved, that we can and glorify Him in our life. You've made everything possible and simple if we just put our faith and our trust in the ones that You've sent. You've sent Your Son. You've sent Your Spirit. Father, I pray that You'll take the things that we've seen this morning, have them become a reality in the soul of those who listen. Understand these things, Father. Continue growing. The Holy Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.